So this is our vision this morning. We're asking the Lord to give us his vision, and that's what he's been doing. So we have been praying, we have been believing, and we said last year when we bought the building, right this time, 2017, we said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And he said, you buy the building, and then leave it with me, and then I'll come back to you. And we're like, thank you, Lord, but we'd love to know what happens next. And so this morning, we're going to learn what happens next, because the Lord has said, it's time to go. So I want us to remind us this morning who we are. This is who we are. And you can see right from the beginning, we are about vision this morning. We want to be people of vision. The Bible tells us about vision, the people will perish. And I believe this morning what the Lord wants to remind us, the truth, there's many truths in that verse, but one of the biggest truths is this, is when we lose our sight, when we lose our supernatural vision, oh my goodness, we start to perish. We start to sink. Because if we look out at the world, which I'm sure we're all doing, we see many different things going wrong. Maybe your job's under threat. Maybe you don't have enough money in your bank account. You see all these different things, and if you're not careful, that's all you see. And before you know it, we find ourselves in a position that many people find themselves, feeling isolated, feeling alone, feeling like they should give up, feeling depressed, because the world out there, that's all it wants to do. It wants to pull us down. But the Lord says, if I can give you a vision, my goodness, you can come from the pit to the palace. Exactly what Joseph did. If I can give you a vision of the future, it will change your life. It's incredible when you talk to someone who's come from maybe a really troubled background or they've come from the worst environment possible. You ask them, what changed? They said, my circumstances didn't change. My income didn't change. But what started to happen was something started to spark in my mind. And that happens for a believer or an unbeliever. But what would it be like when a believer gets a vision from God? There is no stopping what the Lord can do. So we are people of vision. We're going to be people of integrity. And so right back in 2006 when we prayed, we said, Lord, give us a cool name. Because back in 2006, we're just young and all we want is cool things. And the Lord said, okay, I'll give you a cool name, but I'm going to give you a good meaning to it. And so the second thing was integrity. And here's what he said. There's a lot of people that just don't have integrity today. And I realize that this is a hard thing. There's lots to compromise on. There's lots to do, go here with and go there with. But as much as possible through God's strength, we want to remind ourselves that we are people of integrity. We're going to stand up to things. We're going to believe for the right things. We're going to come against the wrong things. We're going to pray for good and come against evil in Jesus' name. Third thing is you've got to be people of boldness. We are going to be people that are bold. I think you've seen over the last few years, we're taking bold steps for the kingdom of God. But I want to assure you this morning, these are not my bold steps or bold ideas. I gave up a long time ago. This is God's stuff. I would have given up a long time ago. This is too difficult. It is too hard, too much anxiety, too much pressure. I said, Lord, it's all yours. And suddenly I felt light. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to do the same. If you're worrying, anxiety filled, all those different things, as much as possible, give that all away to the Lord, and he will make you light, and he will take your heavy burdens. And of course, if we ever, we have to keep our vision, but we almost must keep our go, because God says we've got to go into all the world. And so our hearts this morning, the overriding theme of all we're going to talk about this morning is God's vision, but also God's command to go into all the world and make disciples in Jesus' name. That is our hearts, and that is what we want to do. So we are vision, integrity, boldness, and evangelism. Some of our core values, I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but this is a few of our core values. The first one is the welcome home. We want people to feel at home. And that's bigger than you think, because if you're going to come to my home, I'm going to have to look after you, unfortunately. Otherwise, you're going to say, well, what was the point coming here? So we want people to come to our home, which means we need lots of helpers. We have a firm belief that God's called each and every one of us to be part of this thing, to do it together, that we're not just one or two doing everything and the rest just chilling, but we're doing it together, and we're striving together, working hard together, winning together, succeeding together. And of course, we want it to be a place for someone to come who's never been before and feel at home and know that they can belong here and know that they can find Jesus here. Our hearts beat for the lost. It makes sense. We want to tell people about Jesus. We want to share the truth of the good news of the cross. I mean, here's the bottom line. If we don't know Jesus, then we go to a lost eternity. We want to be people of the truth, but we always bring it in love. We want to be vibrant. This is something we've always been. That's why the front of our building is pink. You were probably wondering, why is it pink out the front? Lord say, you got to be vibrant. You got to be bold. You got to bring something different. If we looked like everybody else, what would be the point of doing what we're doing? The Lord says, you've got to be you. You've got to bring that extra flavor. You've got to bring that extra grace. You've got to bring that different idea. You've got to bring that different thing so that somebody else can maybe grab a hold of it. So we're going to dance. We're going to sing. We're going to jump. We're going to shout. I think we can get better at it. Trust me. I think we're going to get better at that, because when we get to heaven and God reveals all the things he's told us and all the things he's promised us and all the things he's done for us, I think we'll jump probably for about 1,000 years, and then we might shout for a bit as well. But we are going to sing, jump, dance, shout, and we're not going to make any apologies for it, because the goodness of God has touched our lives, and we know what he has done. And so it comes out from a joyful heart into our steps, into our hands, into our mouths, into everything that we do. And of course, lastly, we give all. We got to give all for the kingdom of God, because Jesus has given all for us. Here's our journey so far. In the beginning, 2006, and then 2013, we kind of pop up again, and everything changes, and we go and buy a building. And you think to yourself, you know, there's quite a gap between 2006 and 2013. A couple of good reasons for that. 2006, we had just no idea what we're doing. We're just like, Lord, help us. All we were in 2006 was a young adults group. There was 7-8 people in our church. We didn't know each other. We didn't know really that much about anything, but we met together and had a bit of fun. And then slowly but surely, God started to grow things. And God started to bring new people every week, every other week. We did it every 2 weeks. He brought us a worship band. We had none. He brought us people to help. He brought us servants to help to serve. It was incredible. We saw so many people getting saved. And here's the truth as well. Sometimes when you're not seen in public, it means you're doing a lot in private in terms of growing. And when a seed gets planted, a seed doesn't come through the ground until it's ready, until those roots are established, until some deep work has taken place. And then at the right time, at the right season, it just springs forth from the ground. And oh my goodness, we get fruit that satisfies, fruit that lasts. And so never despise those times where you've got seed time and harvest. You know, you feel like you're a seed, but then you feel like you've been buried. You wonder if you've been put to death. No, you've been planted in the ground to grow, and it takes time to establish your roots. And at the right time, this is the bit you're not sure of. This is the bit we have to surrender to God. I know we like everything. Can you give it to me in 3 minutes? Can you give it to me in 3 months? But sometimes God takes a few years because he's got a lot to work with, and that could be you. So God needs time, and you need time to grow. And then at the right time, we spring forth. 2013 is when we saw our building. 2015 is when church began. And what an incredible journey that was. We started off as a youth group. Nearly 10 years later, we become a church. We never planned that. We never intended that. But God knew exactly what he's doing. And of course, then over this last 3 years, some great things have happened. On the timeline, 2017 is when we bought the building. 45,000 in 2013, of course, 78 weeks, and then 2017 is when we buy the building. And here we are today in a new season. And God says there's a new season over each and every one of our lives. There's a new season. And no matter what we face, no matter what we've been through, no matter what the turmoil is, even at this moment, there is a new season because the Lord's still on the throne. And we keep our hope, we keep our guard up, we keep our joy up, we keep praising, we keep praying, and watch what the Lord is doing. It's always greater than you think. Here's what our building looked before. Upstairs, we had upstairs, downstairs was a building site. This is what we had on the outside, and afterwards, look what we got. We got a lovely stripy pink building. We got lots of people at the bottom corner. Here's the bottom line. When we were working at the building for a year, we said this, we are sick of this building. We are sick to the sight of it. We were like, Lord, take it away from us, because all we wanted was to see people, but all the hard work was worth it. And church, this morning, that is our hearts today as well, is that all we want to see is a building full of people. Not that a building really matters too much, but if the building's telling people about Christ, then we love to see it. But then we want to see it empty, because we want people to go, want people to get out there, want people to share, want people to share the good news of Jesus. But this is where we came from. I want to remind you where we came from. Up here, what it used to be up here, if you've forgotten or you didn't even realize, used to be a bit of a snooker hall, a bit of a pool hall. They had slot machines around every single inch square you could believe in this place. They had double sockets every 3 to 4 feet. We had to plaster them all in, get them all, rid of all of them. And I thought about it for just a moment. This was a place that people came looking for hope, wondering that, you know what, if I put a few pounds into a machine, could I get a few more and maybe it would change my life? And I thought to myself, look what the Lord has done. He never deviates too far from the truth. And he says this, I'll give them real hope. And they might have to give me their lives, but they'll get lives like they never dreamt of. They'll get lives far beyond their dreams. They'll give me all of their brokenness, and I will give them far better in exchange. I will give them wholeness. I will give them completeness. I will give them a future and a hope. And so this morning, this is what we have been doing, and this is what we've been trying to do for the last few years. And here's what the Lord says this morning. In the last 3 years, we've seen hundreds of lives changed by the goodness of God, whether that be in salvation, whether that be growing. When we started out, we had a handful of people in the middle. We had to make the seats spread out a bit because we wanted to make the place look good. You know, we didn't want to look empty at the front, so we spread the seats out. Now we can't get enough seats in because we want to give you a bit of space and a bit of breathing room. And so God has been good, and here's what he says. We're only getting started. Here is the thing that I'm so convinced of. I don't believe that God has taken us all this way to say, that's you done now. We're not done yet. The Lord's only warming us up. And he said, if you'll stay faithful, and if you'll stay bold, and if you'll keep seeking me, truly the best is yet to come. God just keeps increasing things. He keeps revealing more and more and more. And this morning, that's what he's doing. He wants to encourage your heart. You've come here for a purpose. You've come here to make a difference. You've come here to do something significant. Do not hold back from what the Lord wants to do in your life. The best is truly yet to come. Here's a few things that we do. I'm only going to look at a few of them because there's too many for the sake of time. But the first one is church. And when I think of church, this is what I think of. I think family. Because gone are the days, or hopefully gone are the days, but definitely in this place, gone are the days of just an hour on Sunday, doing your duty, and then going home and whatever you're trying to do during the week, maybe struggling through or trying to get through. I want to encourage you this morning. We are a family, and so if you're a family, you're going to go through thick and thin. And here's the unfortunate thing. You better be ready for a phone call at 3 a.m., because if somebody needs you and they're part of your family, they might need you, and you better be ready to go. Last night, Aria decided she wanted to stay up late. I was like, thank you so much. I would have loved to get a lovely sleep last night, but she decided to stay up late. So what do? You got to go with it. No point getting annoyed. No point. I just start praising. I'm like, thank you, Lord. More time to pray. More time to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thankfully, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, she decided to go to sleep. And I got a few hours. All good. But God is good. And he says this. We've got to recognize and realize that we are a family. So we stick together. We're there for each other. We're more than just a church. It should be called family in essence, because that's what we do. Of course, we have our young adults, which we've done from the very beginning. We've got Tribe, which is for our teens. We've got Vibe Kids. We've got our life groups. And many, many more things that you can read and read about later on. Here's just a quick highlight, community highlight. We did this for the council just a couple of months ago, so I think it runs from summer to summer, last year to summer this year, so it doesn't have the most recent outreaches on it. But you can see just some of the highlights when we start to put it down. Look what the Lord has been able to do through us in the last 3 years as we've been willing and obedient to his plans. Last year, we said already today, we plan to do about 30 emergency packages to people in need. We ended up doing 200 because God blesses with far too much. And we said, Lord, we better go and buy more bags. We better go and bless more people. And he absolutely helped us to do that. We brought fresh meat, bread, fruit and veg, potatoes, all sorts of really yummy things that help people out. And it really did make a difference. We had our iHeart Armada this year, went to 7 different estates in 5 days. We'd never done anything like that before. Visited over 1,000 homes, giving out flyers and leaflets, getting the odd chat with people. And of course, we got to specifically go to about 50 plus homes, work in their gardens, talk to them, pray with them. We got so many great stories from that. Remember one day us going to cut this garden near the end of our time. We tried to find one more grass garden to cut. We found it, we did it, and at the end we got to go in and pray with the people inside. That's what it's all about. That's the difference it can make, and you never know what God can do with that afterwards. We saw 250 people come to our family fun night. We had about 70 volunteers, and here was the bit that I loved the most. Over the 3 days, we had over 300 kids come into this place. We'd never done it before, from all sorts of places, from all sorts of areas of Armagh. We bust them in, and it was amazing, amazing to see. And that's the thanks to God, but also to you for helping. We did our live nativity last year, 300 plus visitors. Trust me, this year is going to be even busier. I think already down there's over 400 odd people on the event interested and excited to come. We've got schools that are looking to book in. We've got lots of different things happening, which only means one thing. We're going to need more help. Anybody ready to help? We're going to need more helpers. So be ready for me calling you to say, I need you, and you've got to say yes please, otherwise I'll be like so we've got to be ready to help. But we're going to have that in Christmas time, and this even this weekend we've got Georgian Day, which you don't want to miss out on. Halloween last year, 100 kids or so, 2 estates, we had all sorts of things. St. Patrick's Day, look, we've won the best float for the last 4 years in St. Patrick's Day. That is a big deal. We work hard at that float. But in between that, guess what we get to do? We get to give out thousands of flyers, thousands of leaflets to the people of Armagh, and they get to read all about the goodness of God. I think, was this year the golden ticket one? It's the golden ticket one. They loved that golden ticket. They thought they were going to the chocolate factory. We said, no, if you read that ticket, you'll go to heaven. Even better. So we give them out as much as we could. And when we walked past down the street afterwards, there wasn't a golden ticket anywhere. People were like, I don't know, they were like the George Best Fivers of a few years ago. Everybody wanted them. There was probably some on eBay. But it was a great day. And of course, what we also have been doing this last couple of years as our counseling is something that we haven't really talked that much about from the stage, because we were just checking this thing out. We're working working through it. Nikki's been going through her training. She's just completed her 2 years, or two, it's more than 2 years, more than that. But she's completed the stage two, which allows her to counsel. And it's just this great counseling facility that quite a few guys have started to sign up to and go to. They're training in that. We've had a lot of people go to it and see an incredible breakthrough, because it's not just listening, but it's telling, bringing hope as well through the scripture, bringing hope through theology. And that has been incredible. And many more other outreaches that would take too long to tell you. So here's our vision for the future. Just a part of it. It's hard to write it all down. But our future dream is to see our city, our county, our nation transformed with the love of Jesus. I believe this is all of our hearts. This is what it is. This is what God has called us to do. He's called us to, wherever you find yourself, whatever city you're in, whatever place you live in, whatever home you're in, bring the good news of God, make disciples, change the nations, transform the world. This is what we are called to do. Remember, God is spelled G-O-D, and two-thirds of God is go. And so we've got to remember, we've got to go in Jesus' name. This is what he has called us to do. This is our vision. And not only do you want to see people's lives change for Jesus, but we want people to realize they've got hopes and dreams, and they can be part of this vision too. Here's what I firmly believe. We're stepping into something today which is far bigger than we can grasp and that we can fathom. But there are people that God is already starting to awaken that are not here yet that are going to come and join us. How do I know that? Because I'm looking at many people that have come to join us along the way. God is not finished. There are more people that's going to come and gather in this journey. So we don't look at what we don't have. We look at what we do have. And we absolutely look at who we serve and how he's able to do far greater than we can ever possibly imagine or think. We want to see people living out their dreams and their visions and all that God's got for them. And how are we going to do it? Four quick things. There's many more things could have written down, but it's lifting Jesus high. If we lift Jesus high, we get a few things right. When we lift him high, when we make him the cornerstone, when we put him in his rightful place, it's amazing what happens next. We will never forget this, and if we do, come and give me a nip or come and give me a whack and say, come on, we've got to be going and sharing. That's our hearts. We've got to get out there and tell people about the good news of Jesus. We've got to be obedient to his call and destiny. And this morning is all about that, being obedient to his call and to his destiny that he has given us. And of course, we do it all in love. Here's our new building dreams, just a few of them. First one is this. I want to believe for a fully functioning counseling suite. I have a few friends down in Emmanuel. I've got some more down in Belfast, all different counselors. They have counseling suites. They have counseling programs. What they have told me is this, is that their counseling and Christian counseling coming not only listening, but also being there with hope and the hope of salvation and the hope of Jesus is transforming people's lives. They're having GP referrals. They're having all sorts of people coming to their doors. It's not just Christians, because they recognize there's something powerful in this ministry. And we're stepping into the world and we're bringing Jesus into the world, and people's lives are being transformed through a simple thing as counseling. And so our dream is to have a fully functioning counseling suite. And what makes that so exciting and what confirms that word even more is to see so many of our guys now wanting to go on these counseling courses and to train up. It makes it so exciting, because God's already been touching people's hearts as he's been touching my heart, and it just proves once again this is a God vision, not just some man's vision or some person's vision, and we're trying to extend it into somebody else. There's no sales going on this morning. This is simply us sharing about what God has told us to share, and he will resonate that into your heart. Second thing is this. We want to move Tin House to the main street. We have a hidden gem underneath, but we want to move it to the main street. Just practically, it's going to work a lot better for us. Here's what I want to tell you about Tin House. Never think that it's just a coffee shop. It's an excuse for a coffee shop. What it really is church all week long. We have people that come in, they ask for prayer. We have different organizations that will, people will specifically ask to be counseled in our building, not through our counseling, through other Christian counseling. That blows my mind. Absolutely amazing, because they recognize the presence of God is in the coffee shop, and that side room must be super holy or something. So God is doing good things. I want you to continue to remember that. It's not just coffee. It's an excuse for coffee, but what's really happening is people are coming. They're getting help. They're getting healing. We've prayed with many people down there. People have come in need and said, I need help with this or that. And we've ended up saying, well, hey, I think we can make a phone call. Or, hey, I think we can get a message out. And we've been able to bless people. So it's so much more. And we want to move it from here to the front street so it gets even more exposure, so it allows even more people to access it and make it far easier for people to come to. We want to get a multi-sensory room. I don't know loads about this, but I tell you what, it's a big need for those that have needs like this. For people that are really struggling, for kids, for adults that have these different sensory needs, that are struggling with their just with different issues and different problems, then this is a real big need. We were talking to the council, they said this, multisensory is such an important need today, but here's the big problem with it is, it's like a room with all these different textures, different lights, different signs. It allows the person to come in and it just really blesses their day, really helps to transform how they're going through, change their mood, just change how they're feeling. But what we heard from the council was this, is that this is a huge need, but it's very hard for organizations to do it, simply because it's expensive, not only expensive to install, but expensive to maintain. And when I heard that, you know what I thought? I thought, well, you know what? Argyle can do anything. And nobody's going to love better and encourage better and maintain better than Christians, or at least we should. And I said, that's the thing that we could do, where families can come and rent that for an hour for their kids or for anyone who needs it. And it can radically transform their weeks and their lives just as they get into that experience. And it helps to change the mood and the mindset and the health aspect of their kids or of those older people. So we're going for a multi-sensory room, which is absolutely amazing. We're going for multi-purpose rooms for hire. We've seen over the last few weeks people coming into hire rooms for parties, for all sorts of things. And again, you say to us, well, look, why would we want to hire out to business? Why would we want to hire out to kids' parties? Why would we not? Because people come into our building and they go, what is this place? You know what we go? It's not a nightclub. It's actually a church. And they're like, no way. And before you know it, do you believe in that whole God thing? Absolutely. Let me tell you more about this God thing. And then you know what happens next? They go, I think I may come. Starts off with a kid's party, hiring a room for cheap. Before you know it, that family can come to church. Guys, we've got to think outside of the box. Jesus went and met with the prostitutes. Jesus went and hung out with sinners. We've got to get more comfortable with mingling around people who are unsaved. We've got to realize that. God has called us to get into the world and make a difference. Have an industrial kitchen so we can be a blessing to the community, cook up meals, do all sorts of things. We want to have breakout spaces that we can use for ourselves, for Bible study, for just different communication things, for prayer times, for all sorts. We're going to have all sorts of things. And of course, we're going to have an auditorium, which is going to be 400 plus. And look, we could have built a bigger auditorium and we could have planned for a bigger one. But you know what I believe now? Is that gone are the days of these big, massive main rooms and then loads of small side rooms that are never fit for purpose. We're going to make a smaller main room, make it work doubly hard by dreaming of double services or maybe triple services, who knows? But we're going to have plenty of room for everything else in all the side rooms. And so that's what we're working towards. We're going to have 150 kids seater auditorium, which is absolutely going to be amazing. And of course, we're going to have more room for Tribe. If you've seen it the last few months, these guys are like sardines in there. We need to do it for them. So we're going to give them their whole space, and it's going to be absolutely amazing, and they're going to love it. Here's huge potential. I want to show you something this morning. We took a bit of a, I think it's going to, there we go. We took a bit of a dodgy video. Let's see if it's going to play. Here we go. This is a drone video just to try and show you the front of our building. There's a 3-story on the left, 2-story on the right, and here's how big it is. We'll go over the top. I'll show you a picture in the middle. All that round down the middle is us. That green shaded building on the right is the building that we're in at the moment. It is huge. There's it from the back. There's us on the left at the minute, right to the front street. Incredible, incredible size of a building. Huge potential. And God wants us to fill the whole thing. God makes all things possible. Amen. Here we go. Here's the size of it. 4,500 square feet on the left is what we're in at the moment. This is what we bought for $45,000. Ridiculous. We should never have bought it for that. It should be worth $500,000 or more. But God give it to us for $45,000. And then we've got 20,000 square feet on the right side. When we link them all together, it's not hard to do the math. 25,000 square feet. What an incredible, incredible facility for the Lord. What a house of God. What an incredible place to be able to turn around. Remember, this on the right was used for all sorts of things, drinking, drugs, all sorts of anti-God things. And God has given it to us to transform for the kingdom so that we can see lost people get found, see sinners become saints in Jesus' name by just asking Jesus into their lives. So what we'll have is we'll have 3 stories at the front, and then we'll have 2-story all the way back. The reason we have 2-story all the way back is because we want double-heighted ceilings in our main room so you're not feeling boxed in or claustrophobic, so nobody's going to feel claustrophobic or want to leave. We're going to make it as big as possible. And so what will it look like? Now here, let me show you this. We're going to show you something, how it's going to look like, but let me caveat a few things. It's going to look different than this. These are 3D models. The colors will be different. The furniture will be different. It will not be as you've seen, but what it will give you is a bit of perspective. This is what I've realized. Any guys out there went to a scan of their new baby and thought, Everybody else is, you know, going amazing over it, and you're just looking at it going, I don't see anything. It just looks like black and white blur. You know, it just looks like a black and white blur. Well, I think when you look at floor plans, it's a bit like that as well. You look at architectural plans, and if you're a certain person, you'll look at them and you'll just see all sorts of things. But if you're like the rest of us, you'll look at them and go, I have no clue what that. That looks like a line here, a line there, a line there. I have no clue what it means. No clue what it means. So we decided to get some 3D models. Now, they're not perfect. They're not the real thing, but they're going to give you a good idea, and hopefully this morning it gives you a better perspective of what it'll be look like, of what it will look like. So here is our ground floor, and I'm going to show it in different things. We have on the left there, you're going to see we have tin house. That will be it moving to the main street. The left bit is the main street right there. You'll have tin house. You'll have an entrance on the way in. Apologies. You'll have steps to get upstairs. And then it goes all the way back. Right at the top middle is the 150 kids seater auditorium. You've got those two multi-purpose rooms there. You can see, I don't know what that is, a couple of pinky type things the person put in, tables. And of course, you see in the far right. Now, please, we're not turned. On the far right's going to be Tribe. Now, that's where tin house is at the moment. We're not turning it into a pool industry or a table tennis business. It was just the person got overexcited by putting in about five table tennis tables and three pool tables. We're going to take a few of them out. Trust me, they're not going to be there. So that's why I'm saying this is demonstrative purposes only. But we might leave one because they might like a bit of pool, and we might leave one table tennis. But inside that space for Tribe, they're going to have that whole space. So basically all that's downstairs at the moment will become like a whole Tribe space. Just imagine that. Loads of room, loads of space for them, allowing them to do whatever they need to do. And then just off that, there are necessary, we're going to have them, is a toilet block. It's not fancy, but you need them. And of course, our amazing 150-seater kids auditorium. I give you a bit more bird's eye view. There you can see it again. Helps to, hopefully, it gives you a bit of an idea what it's like. Tin house at the front left. In the middle, you've got the kids auditorium. And then at the back, you've got Tribe. Just an amazing, amazing facility. And then those two big rooms. And again, trust me, remember, this is 20,000 square feet. Anybody got a 20,000 square foot home? It's going to be a bit like that. If you've got a 20,000 square foot home, I need to speak to you afterwards because you might be our biggest donor. But the chances are you don't. So believe me, this is big. This is huge. But God only ever works like that. He does big things that stretch us beyond our imagination. Here is our first floor. There's our auditorium on the left. You're going to see this. Isn't God amazing? We will always be in this room. It's just going to get bigger, longer, and wider. We will always be in this room. I'll be on this stage for the next whatever, as long as the Lord wants to keep me. But this will be the same location of the stage. All that will happen is it will get wider. All of that will disappear out there. It would all go up. This roof will all go up. It'll be this height the whole way back for another few feet, and it'll just get wider and longer. Everything will be wiped out. We won't have stairs anymore. There'll be no need to use those stairs. It will be all the way out to the side, and God will just extend it right out. All of this roof will lift off, and it will just feel like that head height all the way back. An incredible facility that God has given to us. You see there, we have this lovely kind of breakout space. Whenever you come out of the main auditorium and go into this big kind of open foyer, the idea of it is this, is that again, we said we're not going to build, we had room to build a 1,000-seater auditorium if we wanted, but what we weren't going to do is make the mistake of that and see it half empty for a lifetime and then think to ourselves, oh my goodness, what did we do this for? We needed more room. We needed this. We needed that. So we got a huge big foyer part where people can mingle and interchange and walk past, as we would say, do double services. Hey, we'll work harder with the space that God's given us rather than just creating one big space that isn't fit for purpose. So that's what we plan to do. You'll see at the multi-sensory rooms tucked in just behind, there'll be a mini tin house upstairs to help us. The preschool rooms at the front, so all the kids are just right close to the adults, really easy for them to come back and forth to the church. Lift in the middle, toilets again. Let me show it, bird's eye view, maybe helps you a bit better again. Big auditorium, over 400 seats in there. Nice big space to mingle and chat and pass people and talk to people, whatever you need to do. Prayer room there as well, just in the top middle. It's just a nice place where we can go and pray with each other, just pray with those, just have a private space just off the main room just to talk. You can see a toilet block, multi-sensory room just below the prayer time, and then at the front, that stripy carpet, that mad carpet. I don't know. It's a bit mad. We may not get that mad carpet, but it may be something nice too. Is that okay? And then on the top floor, we've got one more floor to go. Going to the top floor is our third floor right at the front of our building. It'll be our counseling suite at the back, boardroom at the front. I don't know what you do in a boardroom, but maybe you do important stuff there. We don't have time to go to the boardroom. We'll be on the streets. But the boardroom at the front, we'll have offices at the front. We'll have a toilet up there because you need a toilet. We'll have all sorts of things. And that is our dream so far. And God says it's only the beginning. So don't get too excited on that. It's only the beginning. There's so much more to come. But this is what God has been putting on our hearts for the last few months, the last year or so. We've been stewing over them. We've been praying over them. We've just been trusting God over them. We've been saying, God, are you sure? And he keeps saying, yes, get confident, get bold. This is what I've called you to do. You've got your whole future ahead of you. You're going to transform this town, this nation, this county, and this is a building that we're going to be able to do it with. God is so good. Here's what we've been doing so far, a quick time frame of what our plan is for the future. We did a tiny bit of demolition out the back. I'm not sure we're supposed to, but we did anyway. Tiny bit of demolition out the back. We're going to lodge our planning application. Remember, we were so blessed. We have full planning permission on this building. We don't have to go to planning. We're going to go direct to building application in early 2019. We're going to begin our works in 2019, probably just before Easter time, because we have to put in a few foundations to extend our planning permission. And so that's why we're starting to move on things now, because we know time's going to move. We're going to aim for about 2022 that we're going to have our new building shell front to back completely done. So all out there within the next few years is going to be totally done, and we'll have ground floor completely finished, with the hope to finish first and second floor over the next couple of years after that. That's what we're planning. If God wants to do it faster, so be it. We'll say yes and amen to that, but that's what we're planning, just trying to show some integrity and just plan things out. And of course then 2022 plus, we'll aim to do our complete first and second floor, and eventually then connect the two buildings together and to make this auditorium at the end. Here's our hearts. We want to get serving the community first, and whenever that falls into place, then we'll get this place. In the meantime, we'll just double service this. We'll just keep things moving, and we'll make it all work in between. So that is our time frame. And I believe this morning we're called to do it together. And we've been saying this over the last few weeks, and this is not my idea. Remember, we've been sharing about the Nehemiah Project, which is about these people that were exiled from God. They were far from God. They didn't know what was going on with God, and they had left God behind. And before you know it, they were just 150 years in the wilderness. But God has called us this morning. He said, hey, I've put a great vision in front of you. I've given you a great purpose and a great calling, and I want you to do this thing together. And so therefore, we're going to do it together. Here's how much it's going to cost. $1.5 million at least. This is why we've priced it up. This is the way we've quoted it out. And here's what God has said to me. He said this. For a while, I was like, God, I didn't want to see that number. I didn't want to hear that number. I wanted to disappear. And you know what he kept saying? You've got to let it sit in your heart until you get comfortable. You got to get comfortable with it, because this is not your money, and this is not your plan, and this is not your idea. I lost control of this thing a lot of years ago. Trust me on that one. I lost control of it a lot of years ago. This has been God moving ever since. And this is what he said. And I was like, wow, what do we do with that, Lord? You know what he said? You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray and get comfortable, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think. You know, when years come past and when these years go by, we'll look back and laugh and we'll say, that was cheap. But right now, that's like, oh my goodness, Lord. How are we going to do it? How are we going to raise the $1.5 million? Here's what I'm going to encourage. We're going to raise this money together. I want you to buy a seat. Let me explain this morning. I know our time's starting to disappear, but we'll wrap this up in just a few moments. I want you to buy a seat. We've been thinking and dreaming over and praying over this last few weeks and months and saying, Lord, how do we break this big number down? How do we break it down from something that's really huge to something more manageable, to something that we can get our hearts around? And I've seen schemes before where you buy a brick, or you buy a block, or do all of those things. But I thought, it's got to be more personal than that. Seats are more personal because you sit in seats. And seats are not of themselves of any value. But when someone sits in them, then suddenly, oh my goodness, that seat is worth every penny. And so this morning what we've done is we've broken it down. And here's what we've realized. If our new space will do 425 people, give or take, if we multiply that, because we've got a heart to double that, and I think we're being low on the estimates. I believe God's going to bring even more. God's not building this building just for a few. He's bringing many to it because his dreams are big. But say for the ease of the maths and for how we can break it down, if we take that, 425 people will eventually be in here. We're believing for that. Remember, we're not building a building with empty seats. We're going to believe along the way God's going to be saving, multiplying, increasing. We're going to be inviting. We're going to be seeing our friends and family coming. God's going to be setting this whole thing up as he has been over this last few years, and he's going to continue to do that. But if we take the 850, what we can do with it is we take the 425 people, we double it to 850, and then we take the 850 and we divide it by into the 1.5 million, and we take it over 5 years. It works out to be £800, £1,800 per seat. And suddenly a number that's unimaginable becomes a number that maybe I could get my head around. And the 5 years is there simply because of this. As I was praying, I was saying, Lord, is this 15 years away? Is this 20 years away? Lord, what is this? This thing is just way too big for me. And you know what he said? A lot's going to happen in 5 years. And so I'm stepping out in faith and sticking the five up there. I'm going to believe for five or less. It could be five or more. But I believe the Lord spoke clearly and said, there's something's going to break in 5 years. So we took the 850, divided into the 1.5. We get down to 1,800 per seat. And if we break that down over the 60 months, which is 5 years, obviously, then it's £30 a month. And I thought, wow. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know we don't have 850 people to buy 850 seats, but here's what I've realized, is that if we will do our part and we'll buy what we can afford, maybe it's one seat, maybe it's two seats, maybe I'll buy seats from a family, maybe I'll buy a seat for a friend, maybe I'll try to do my seat and somebody else's seat. Who knows what God will put in your heart? It is amazing how things can add up. And here's what I want to put onto your heart, is that £30 is actually not that much. I'm going to tell you, it's not that much. Now, I know it's a big deal, but it's not that much when we equate it to a few other things. Some of us could have a sky bill that's more than that. Now, I'm not knocking your sky bill. I've got one. Or we go to the gym, and you want to go to the gym and pay £30. Or you want to go and get a coffee every day for the next month. That could equate to £30. All of those things can add up. And all I'm saying is break it down and see how that can be possible. And then put this question into your heart. This is our destiny. This is our future. This is what God's called us to. Is his kingdom not worth far more? I tell you what I'm searching my heart is. I'm saying, Lord, how many can I buy? Not how little can I get away with. How many can I buy? Lord, how much can you supply me with? How much can you give me? Because I want to faithfully sow into this thing because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than my family. I'm aiming for grandkids. I'm aiming for a nation, a county, Northern Ireland, Ireland transform with the good news of Jesus. God wants to extend us further. 1.5 million, 850 seats, 5 years, £30 a month. It's incredible how it can break down, and suddenly we can put our ideas around it, and suddenly we can fathom it. Now, there's still lots of room for God to move there. And this is one of the big hearts that God gave me. He said, let's not engineer something where it's all just loans and mortgages, where it's just all you now. And here's what God spoke to me clearly, was that over this last few years, we've seen God move with our little. He said, at this point, don't do what everybody else would do and just take me out of it. And then say, God, would you help us? I've left loads of room because you know it. We don't have 850 people here. Is it even possible that we could all buy those 850 seats? Probably not. Absolutely not. But we have left room for God to come and do what he can do. And that's what we need to know in our lives. We do our bit, and he takes the brunt, and he does something incredible. Here's the miracle of abundant supply when it comes to the five loaves and the two fishes. Broken it down. There was two fish, there was five loaves, there was 5,000 men. There was more on top of that. It's amazing how God's not too focused on the number of people there. He's more focused on, is there anybody here that can bring something? Is there anybody here that can bring something? And I think this morning, church, we cannot get too distracted by the big number. The big number is God's. Let him take care of that. God says, and even in his word, I don't even prescribe how many people was there. I just tell you about the 5,000 men. There was women, children on top, but I don't want you to get too dismayed. So we'll just focus on what you can do. And he asked that day, the disciples come to say, Lord, there's nothing we can do. We've got to send them away. We've got to send them home hungry because we can't cope with these guys. And what did Jesus say? No, you've got to do what you can do. You've got to do what you can do. Pass the word around the crowd. Is there anybody here that's got something? And on that day, unfortunately, it turned out to only be one. Only one person, one wee boy. He gave all that he had. What did the Lord not do? Incredible. I want to draw your attention to what happens at the end. At the end, everybody's full. Everybody's so full that that miracle was so good that everybody was so full that they had 12 baskets left over. Now, why 12? Have a think about this. 12 disciples, one basket each. Jesus wanted each one of them disciples to know, there is nothing too hard for me. You give your best and watch how the Lord does the rest. And church, this morning, that's what we need to pray and ask the Lord for. Lord, how can I do my best? How can I step into this? How can I be part of this? Lord, I can't get too consumed with the big thing. I can't get too consumed with the end. I'm going to trust you with it because it's yours. And if we do what we can do, oh my goodness, watch how the Lord supplies far and above all that we need. It's incredible, and we will be blown away. Don't be overcome by fear. Be overcome by faith. Why did we choose seats? We chose seats because, again, as I've mentioned, seats are personal. Seats speak of people. Whenever I see a seat, you know what I think of? I think of people. When we do our prayer meetings here, again, if you're not coming, you got to make sure to come. They are powerful. When we come to the prayer times, quite often what we do is we go around the seats and we pray over the seats because we recognize someone's going to sit there. Someone's going to sit there who's maybe despondent, no hope, not sure what to do next. Lord, could it be that when that person sits there, I want to pray for them even before they're here. I want to believe for breakthrough even before they're here. That's how good our God is. That's how we look to the future. That's how we get God's vision. We don't see what's there. We start seeing what could be there. We start seeing it's not just a chair. It's something that someone could sit in, that their lives could be transformed. Their lives could be changed. And oh my goodness, they start to become part of this vision as well. And they fulfill kingdom purpose through. So we love chairs because it's a constant reminder that we're focused on people and not on a building. People are priceless to Jesus. He paid the highest price because he said you're worth it. That is incredible, church. That is incredible. This morning, church, we've got to remind ourselves, Jesus said people are worth it. And so our first goal, we're breaking it down even more. Our first goal over the next few years is to raise that $500,000. What that will allow us to do is to complete outdoor front to back and ground floor, totally done. What that will enable us is Tin House will move out. Suddenly Tribe will have their zone. Tin House will have their place. We'll have the multi-purpose rooms for hire, for parties, for all they need to be. And we'll have our 150-seater auditorium for the kids. That's where we're going to bite off from the 1.5, because I'm saying, God, we'll do this, we'll let you take care of that, and we'll go for what we think we can go for over this next few years. And when we broke the numbers down, I don't want to put it on the screen today because I'm not going to manipulate or do anything, but what I realized was this: when I worked the numbers in around 80 or 90 people, give them what they can, whether it be £30 a month, maybe it's three chairs, maybe it's four chairs for a couple of people, maybe it's a lot of people buying one chair, no matter what way you work the numbers, it's incredible over 5 years how you can raise £500,000. It is more than doable. It's just about us saying, Lord, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to be a part of in this thing? It's amazing when people come together what they can achieve in the Lord. Here's a couple of things to encourage us as we're getting near finished. God turned one packed lunch into thousands of meals. Remember that this morning. Feeding the 5,000, God turned one packed lunch into thousands of meals. God can take your £30 a month or whatever it is. Hey, you can give less. We're just encouraging you £30 because it's the way it works on the multiples of the chairs. You can give less, you can give more. But isn't it amazing what one packed lunch can do? Give what you can and watch how the Lord will multiply it. God rescued millions of people by parting the sea, the Red Sea. God brought down the walls of Jericho by people walking and singing. And you think your praise and your worship's not powerful? It changes nations. It causes the devil to flee. God restored a nation by rebuilding ruined walls in 52 days with ordinary people. In this room, we're full of ordinary people. I think so. But look what the Lord was able to do as they surrendered to him. God defeated all the powers of sin and darkness forever by sending Jesus. Is there anything too hard for him? I say no. And so, will you join us? This is my heart, and this is why I want you to ask. But before you do, I want you to consider a few things. I want all of us to consider a few things, the challenges we go to give or to think to give. I want us to give from a thankful heart. You always got to give from a thankful heart. Recognizing who and whose you are and what God has given you. You're not giving out of obligation or pressure. If you're feeling pressure this morning, forget it. Now, you may feel conviction because maybe like me a few years ago, I wasn't given the way I should have been to the Lord. And the Lord convicted me. He says, hey, if you can give to this, this, and that, maybe you need to start thinking about giving to me. And he convicted me. So prepare for that. He could convict you. He might convict you of all sorts of things, but he will convict. That's what God does. And it's to make you better. It's to transform you. It's to change your life. But you absolutely have to pray. You've got to pray, Lord, how many seats should I buy? If the Lord says no, then you say no. The widow came with her two mites. But I encourage us, all of us have something that we can give. Don't miss out in the joy of giving. All of us have something to bring because we're all here for this time, for this season. Don't miss out on what the Lord wants you to do. Be radical, but not reckless. We're not calling anybody to be reckless with their giving. Be radical with it. Give by faith and not by credit. I don't want anybody giving on a credit card. That is not wise. That is not good. That is not a good idea. Give from what you have, not from what you don't have. But here's where it might get stingy. You might have to sacrifice a few luxuries to give to something more important because the Lord might just convict you. I'm not saying that all the things you have aren't good things, but I remember a friend of mine or a guy that I knew, and he loved to play golf and he just played it all the time. And then God said one day, you got to give it up. And God was like, what? He said to God, but this is how I wind down. This is how I just have an easy life. I'm away a lot of the time and this is just how I chill out sometimes. God says, you got to give it up. Got to give it up. And so reluctantly, he did. He was a bit angry with God, and he gave it up. He knew there was nothing wrong with golf, but it was getting in the way of some of the quiet times that he needed to have with God. His life radically changed over the next year. A year later, God said, you can have it back. So our God knows what we need and when to take it away, when to take it, when to give it. He knows what to do with us. So be ready. God may just say to you, I want you to give this up, but it's going to be for something more important. Would you purchase enough chairs? This is a challenge for each member of your family that attends our church, plus one for the person who you're believing will one day sit in that very chair. Again, this is not to bribe or to pressure to do anything. It's to extend us forward. Our natural mind wants to say, I couldn't do that. I've got to get out. I couldn't do that. But with God, we can do all things. With him, we can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Through Christ, I'm able to do impossible. It is amazing. God is stretching us. And so today, this is what we're calling our project, Project Possible. Everybody else is going to say it's Project Impossible. We've dropped the I am, and we've let Jesus fill the rest, and we've said it's Project Possible. Because the Lord is able to do what far and beyond what we could think or imagine. He is able to do things that we cannot process. He has done things in my life that I could never have achieved in my own self. In this building, we're sitting in a miracle. He says the best is yet to come. There is more to come. And he's encouraging you to be part of what we're doing. Final slide today. It's a Nehemiah vision. This is what the Lord's put in our hearts, is that we are called to rebuild the walls of our city and our people. We're not being presumptuous. We're not saying that this is only us. We're following after what God's called us to do. We know that there's many other believers in this town. We know there's many other churches in this town. But I believe collectively God is bringing us together. I believe collectively God is moving in the believers' hearts. And we've got to get our hearts in shape. And he'll be doing the same in other places. And collectively we're going to see this town transformed. We're going to see Armagh restored. We're going to see Armagh better than it's ever been in the surrounding areas. But there was four keys that we learned from the Nehemiah vision, and this is a vision that God's put in our hearts for this next project. It was that we would restore hope to a broken people. We see so much brokenness. We see so much hopelessness out in our streets, out in our towns, out in our families. We are going to see it happen, and God is providing a place for those people to come to, and that is his plan, and that is his goal. Well, they saw fresh favor and blessing. Those people in Nehemiah's day were broken, abused, kind of far off people from God, and then suddenly God's favor came upon them, and they were able to do things that they didn't think was even possible. They saw blessing upon blessing on their lives. Here's what they did, and here's what I love. They pushed their enemies back. Suddenly, their enemies that came to derail them and deflate them and discourage them, suddenly they pushed them back, and their enemies run. They fled. They couldn't get out of there quick enough because they were like, this is God's thing. We got to get away. And they saw that God was with them all along the way. And I would encourage you, we've mentioned week after week, God is for us. He will give us success. I love this scripture this morning. Nehemiah 6:16. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. God is assuredly telling us he's helping us. Will we help him? This is what we have to pray about. This is what we've asked the Lord for. This is why we say, Lord, why am I here? Maybe I'm here for this. And if we believe that, then we get part of this and we say, Lord, help me to give what I can give. Supernaturally bless me with more than I have. Lord, the God that we serve is absolutely amazing. Can we stand and pray this morning? We're going to finish out with a song. And what we've done is we've put together a bit of a leaflet. And Paul's going to give you that on the way out. But it just gives you a bit of a rundown of what we talked about this morning so you can go home. And I want to encourage you, take that leaflet, pray about it, ask the Lord about it. And then you just see where God brings it to you. But it has all the details that we spoke about this morning and more. But I want us to finish out with song. And as we're doing that, we're going to lift our offering this morning. We're going to thank the Lord for all that he has done. I ask you to just continue to pray. Just continue to pray for all that he's doing. Because this thing is huge. It's way bigger than I could ever imagine or think. Way bigger than you could. And this morning, all we're doing is being faithful with what the Lord has blessed us with. We're being faithful with the vision that he has given us. And so we're going to stand and rejoice. I don't want anybody to be worrying. Don't want anybody to come away from this feeling, oh my goodness, this is so stressful. No, this is God, and he's able to do far and above what we could ever imagine or think. So can we worship? We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing God of Miracles because he truly is our God of Miracles. We're going to thank him for all that he has done. We're going to sing this thing through. They walked around the walls of Jericho. They didn't just see the bricks and the mortar. They said, if God's for us, who can be against us? And they sung and they rejoiced and they shouted and those walls came down. The walls of Jericho were built to stand. They were built to keep all enemies out. But when God moved, even music brought them down. I want to encourage you, your worship is powerful, your giving is powerful, that what God does in your life is incredible. Step into that more and more and watch what the Lord will do. Lord, I thank you this morning for your vision, for your dreams. I pray this morning that we will take it as faithful believers and we will pray over this. We will bring it to you, Lord. We will ask you, Lord. We will talk to you. Lord, I pray this morning for our own hearts and for our own lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, whatever we're facing, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're going through, Lord, that you would anoint us and bless us. Because here's the bottom line. We said it right from the beginning. We're not after bricks and mortar. We're after people. But we're faithful to your vision. And so, Lord, this morning, bless every heart and bless every life. And as we would worship this morning, would you lift heavy burdens from us, Lord? As we worship this morning, would you lift off oppression and the weights of that, Lord? As we worship this morning, would you transform and change us and break something on the inside of us? Because we want to be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen.